Devotees yes, we don't want to overdo it and just make you feel like it's a bit too much. But we thought that this Navahata is such a nice Navahata, we have to come and get your association again. So here we are. And of course on Monday was Gopalila. The appearance day of Chaitanya. I imagine some of you were in the Radharanath temple in Chatsworth. Tuesday, was the festival of Jagannath Mishra is the father of Lord Chaitanya. In Krishna Leela, Jagannath Mishra is Nanda Maharaj. So after the appearance of Lord Chaitanya, immediately the next day, they had a big festival of Jagannath Mishra and Mother Sachi, the mother of Lord Chaitanya, who is Mother Yashoda in Krishna Leela in Vrindavan. Yes. But anyway, I thought, if you don't mind, I thought we could just discuss a few things further about Lord Chaitanya. Would that be all right? You're not strongly opposed? Let's discuss a little bit more. You know, we could go on for quite some time, actually. We could go on for days and weeks. But let's just look at some things, some interesting pastimes. And for example, some interesting qualities of Lord Chaitanya, but also of the devotees. Because the thing is, ultimately, that why are we here in Krishna consciousness? Why are we here? Really is because we want to change. We want to improve ourselves. We don't want to just remain the same old person, but we want to become better persons through becoming devotees, practicing Krishna consciousness, chanting Hare Krishna, serving in the movement of Lord Chaitanya. We want to become better devotees and happier devotees. Happier people through being involved in Krishna consciousness. If we don't become happier, what's the point? What are we doing here? If we just stay, everything is just the same as always. No, we want to see positive development. And it happens. So many devotees who we know, who you know, and who I know, previously, before they were devotees, they were not doing so well, even doing quite badly, had very serious problems. But through taking to Krishna consciousness, they and their lives, everything is transformed. So, and as Prabhupada said actually once, from hippies to happy, Now, I don't think so many of you were hippies, I don't know. Maybe some of you. Not hippies, but, you know, some other type of ordinary materialistic person. But from hippies to happies, from the old person struggling and struggling with all the difficulties of day-to-day life, becoming a happy devotee, this is what we want. Through Krishna consciousness, and it happens. It really happens. So we want to see, you know, sort of the relevance to us, maybe one or two examples of people, how they became, how wonderful they became by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So, okay, let's start. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta
Vrinda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai
Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. You know, one time, Hare Krishna, Prabhupada was talking with someone in, if I remember correctly, one of his rooms in Bombay, Mumbai, in the old establishment we had there. And the person asked Prabhupada, "Can you perform miracles? Can you perform miracles?" Because, you know, people, so many people are attracted to that idea. They'd like to see something mystical happen. So, can you perform miracles? And Prabhupada pointed to his disciples there. "These are my miracles. These are my miracles." Because before, they were doing so much nonsense. It's shocking, actually. It was really shocking. They were doing so much nonsense, but now they've given it up, and they're leading pure lives. And they're just different people. So that's, you know, to change a person, that's more significant than just changing, you know, like what a sweet, a rasgul, we'll say a burfi into a rasgula. Or, you know, I don't know how you say it, but producing some ash. Something's burnt and it's finished, then that is ash now. But to change a person from one type of person into a really different type of person permanently, that's something. That's a change. That's a big change. So therefore Prabhupada said, "These are my miracles." I want to tell you, first of all, a story. You may be familiar with it. It's from Chaitanya Charitamrita. And the place in Mayapur, just across the river from our temple and our whole ISKCON establishment, the place was still there. It is called Agat. Agat. Gat, basically meaning bathing place or a place where the boat comes in, you know, taking people across the river, is a gat, the boat gat. And Am in Bengali, meaning mango. That place, the place of the mangoes. And even today, that place is still there. There's a railway station, Arangat. And just across the road, immediately across the road, there's a big mango plantation. These big, old mango trees. So, you know, every day, once Lord Chaitanya, once he returned from Gaya, after doing the last rites of his father, Jagannath Mishra, as soon as Lord Chaitanya came back, having received initiation from Ishvara Puri, he was a transformed person. As a young fellow back at school, and up till the time his father passed away, Lord Chaitanya was just like an intellectual, a super intellectual scholar. But he wasn't manifesting himself openly as a devotee. He wouldn't go on Harinama, he wasn't really involved in the devotee programs, but he was more just involved with knowledge. But then his father passed away, he did the last rites in Gaya, in Bihar, some distance away. And then he returned, he got initiated, and he was so Krishna conscious. He was so Krishna conscious. And he started the Harinam Sankirtan program, going out with the devotees, chanting all around the area. You know, there's on one side of the river, there was the city, Navadvip. On the other side, various other places just nearby. So he would go with the devotees every day. And you know what it's like in India? You get a lot of hot weather. You get a lot of hot weather. You know, here in Durban, it's quite cool compared to like Mayapur. So the devotees would go out. A whole team of them would go out. It was a big thing. And all around the city of Navadvip and then around these other places, on Harinam, big Harinam party in the heat. And so, naturally, after a while, the devotees were feeling hot, feeling thirsty, feeling hungry, maybe, definitely feeling very thirsty, and what to do. So one day, they stopped at this place, which is now called Arangat. And there was already a mango plantation there. And seeds, you know, and skin is just sort of lying around here and there. And Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya picked up one mango seed which was lying on the ground. He picked it up and he pushed it into the ground. Just pushed it into the ground. When he did that, suddenly the seed manifested a tree. First of all, a little seedling, and then it grew and grew on the spot in the space of minutes. It grew and grew and then started producing flowers. And then from the flowers came the mangoes. Say within minutes. Within minutes, the tree had grown to like a reasonable size at least, and had produced mangoes. Actually, Chaitanya Charitamrita says about 200 mangoes. There were about 200 devotees. Now, devotees, you have seen many a mango. Maybe in your backyard you have a mango tree or two, or maybe you were brought up on the farm and there were loads of mango trees. Anyway, mangoes are common around here. But not like those mangoes. Not like those mangoes. Those mangoes had no skin. And they had no seed. It was just fruit. And they were just oozing and dripping juice. Did you see a mango like that? No. So Lord Chaitanya, he pointed to the mangoes as a wrinkly one. So the devotee grabbed a mango, gave it to Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya, what did he do? Offered it to Krishna. That's got to be that. He offered it to Krishna, and then he personally picked the mangoes and distributed them with his own hand to the assembled devotees. And these mangoes, not only did they have no skin, not only did they have no seed, but devotees, those mangoes were so big, just one was enough. A person could not manage more than one. What do you think? Amazing. Yes. So the devotees ate those mangoes. And here in South Africa, our mangoes, well, they vary, of course. Some of them are quite nice. Some of them are sort of, you know, not the best. But some of them are quite nice South African mangoes. But they are not like, have you ever experienced an Alfonso mango from near Mumbai, Goa, and near Mumbai? Did you ever have an Alfonso mango? Let me tell you, devotees, if you have not had an Alfonso mango in this lifetime, you have wasted at least 10% of this life, if not more. Really. It's an experience. It's just a real experience. They're so sweet, overpoweringly sweet. So these mangoes were like that, or better. Yeah. And so, everyone ate a mango, and everyone was just fully satisfied. And then they carried on with the Harinam. But then, every day, for 1 year, every day, Lord Chaitanya brought the devotees to that place. And every day, there were 200 mangroves. Now, of course, the word got out. The word got out about this miracle of Lord Chaitanya. So, you know what happened to the Harinama party? The Harinama party grew in size because the people heard, you know, we're going to get these mangoes. So more devotees came. So 200 mangoes, then 300, 400. And every day for 1 year, Lord Chaitanya brought the devotees to that tree in the middle of the day when it's hot. And he personally offered a mango to Krishna and personally distributed them to all the devotees. So by the time they finished and carried on with the Harinam, there were no more mangoes on the tree. But they came back the next day and the tree was full of mangoes again. Just say, this is a miracle of Lord Chaitanya. The place is still there and it's a very famous place, Amgat. And the thing is this, that if we really try our best to apply ourselves in Krishna consciousness, then we will become very sweet people. Just like you see here, this, you know who this is? Sitting by the harmonium, our organ player, is Ravindas Rukhavan. He's very sweet devotee. Do you know that? Are you aware? Before he wasn't like that. Look at him, he's a big, tough guy. But now he's so sweet and nice. Yeah. Transformation. It's true. It's definitely true. And if we apply ourselves nicely, then we will become very sweet devotees. And when you become a sweet devotee, then you get so many friends. You get so many friends. If you become just a nice person, you get so many friends. We do a seminar on devotee relationships, and the first thing we teach the devotees is just be nice. Just be nice. You may be intelligent, you may not be intelligent, but if you're nice, life will be nice, and the devotees will be nice to you. Yeah, so therefore we should do like this. Try to take it seriously. Not just this like a little recreation, just become for the prasadam or something like that. When I was young, I was not exactly a hippie, but I was a friend of hippies. And there was a hippie book. The book was about how to live in the major cities of the world, London, New York, Los Angeles, these main cities of the world, how to live for free. Yeah. And the name of the book was Steal This Book. And I'm completely serious. Google it and you'll find out. That was quite a book. And in the book it said, if ever you can't get food and you need a free meal, go to the Hare Krishna temple. It's right there. And it said, if you somehow, if you lose your shoes, go to the Hare Krishna temple on Saturday. And you get a whole range you can choose from. I'm serious. Anyway, where were we? But the thing is that we should try and take it seriously. And, yeah, try to take Christian consciousness seriously. Try and chant 16 rounds. If you're not doing 16 rounds, okay, don't panic. But, you know, try and gradually, step by step, build up to it. Because if you do, you feel the difference. You feel the difference. Right, so that is the change. By the skill of Chaitanya through Krishna consciousness. I want to tell you another story now about a devotee. And how that devotee became such a nice, kind person. Amazing person. Well, there's a couple of examples I we can give, actually. first story I'll tell you in this regard is about a devotee named Shivananda Sen. This Shivananda Sen, he was kind of like a managerial type of person. Good organizer, and highly Krishna conscious. Something like a Victor Acharya Guru. Good organizer, highly Krishna conscious. So, and he lived in Navadvip. Lord Chaitanya, at this time, was living in Janathpuri. And Shivananda Sen would gather the devotees and they would walk to Jagannath Puri every year and spend like a couple of months associating with Lord Chaitanya and Jagannath Puri, and then they'd walk back. And you know, walking is like from Navadvip itself, it's about 600 kilometers. That's a bit of a walk, isn't it? Yeah. So it would take some days. It would take a while for them to walk 500 or 600 kilometers, but they did it. So one year, they're walking, they just started walking, they left Navadvip, they're heading down to the south in the direction of Puri. And what should happen but a street dog somehow became attached to the party and was just walking along with them. It was nobody's dog, just some dog off the street, because in those days, in India, dogs were not kept at home. You just wouldn't find a single dog in the country that was like a house pet, as happens nowadays, even in India to some degree. So they just live in the street, and that's it. So this dog somehow or other became attached to the group of devotees. And Shivananda Sen, you know, it would be easy to think, look at this dirty animal, mongrel. Yeah, you know, just of no real significance at all. Let's give him a kick and get rid of him. But Shivananda Sen, as a devotee, he had such a kind heart that when it became clear that the dog enjoyed being with the people and was just walking along, he decided to basically adopt the dog and take care of the dog. So what he did, you know, as you're going down the east coast of India, there are many rivers, and there were no bridges at all. And where there was a river, there was a boat. A boat cat. And you'd have to take the boat across. And the boatman, you'd have to pay the boatman. That's how the boatman would live. So the boatman, in order to take the dog, the boatman demanded money. You must pay for the dog. And again, it's a street dog. And you can imagine some of the devotees would think, we're not going to pay money for this homeless animal. Just let the dog stay back. But no. Srinivasa Sen was such a kind-hearted devotee that what to speak of looking after the people nicely, he looked after the dog really nicely. And he personally paid money so the street dog could cross these quite numerous rivers on the way to Puri. And you know, of course, in those days, like we said, there were no domesticated, no house pet dogs at all. All the dogs just lived in the street and just fended for themselves. And dogs are not famous for being vegetarians. And people and devotees, you know, don't like to deal with meat. I mean, don't deal with meat, actually. So, they didn't feed the dog meat. Srinivasa Sen saw that they cooked some extra rice, and the dog was fed rice. And I guess, you know, when you get hungry enough, even though dogs are generally carnivorous, more or less, this dog became a vegetarian. Veg. Yeah. A veg dog. You know, I understood, you may have heard me say this before, I understood that India had gone downhill a lot when I was sitting on an airplane flying within India, local flight, on an airline called Kingfisher Airlines, which went bankrupt. So anyway, I was sitting there, planes full of people sitting there, and the girls come around with meals. And this girl came, young girl, in local India, in a mini skirt, and she looked straight at me, and I was dressed exactly like this, with tilak even more prominent than the tilak I have now. She looked straight at me, and you know what she said? She said, veg or non-veg? She felt she needed to ask me the question. Yeah. Veg or non-veg? Like that. I'm a little aggressive. And then I realized India, the culture, has been corrupted. Anyway, so they're feeding the dog rice. And the rice came down, and the dog carried on. And the dog walked the whole way, taking days and days and days. You know, if you walk, maybe you do 20 or 30 kilometers in a day if you're fit. if he fails. So it took them like 3 weeks, and the dog came the whole way with the party. Just before they arrived in Jagannathpuri, like 1 or 2 days walk maybe, before they reached Puri, Shivananda Sen, who was personally managing the situation with the dog and personally feeding the dog and all this, he got really busy. One day he got really busy. They had to cross a couple of rivers and deal with some tax collectors and like cross the state border or something like that. And he was the manager. He had to deal with all these things. And he asked one of the devotees, "Will you see that the dog gets his rice?" And the devotee said, "Sure." But when Shivananda Sen came back in the evening, he asked the devotee, "Did you feed the dog?" And the devotee said, "Oh, sorry, forgot." And Shivananda Sen looked around, "Where is the dog?" But the dog had gone, because the dog had been hungry. And it's a dog. They can't really tolerate so much. So the dog went off to find something to eat and didn't come back. And Shivananda Sen got really upset. And he organized a search party. "Let us find the dog and bring the dog back and feed the dog and look after the dog." But they couldn't find the dog. So Shivananda Sen was actually, you could say, distressed. He was distressed that this living entity was sent to me by Krishna for me to look after, and I failed. I let him down. So he was really upset. Anyway, it was only, say, another 1 or 2 days' walk to Jagannathpuri. So they got there. A couple of days later, they arrived. And first thing, what did they do? First thing, they went to visit Lord Chaitanya. All the Bengali devotees, this whole group of some hundreds of devotees, they went to meet Lord Chaitanya at the place where he was staying. And so they arrived there. And what did they see? What did they see? Devotees, they saw the dog. The dog was there with Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya had some coconut, you know, like coconut pulp. And Lord Chaitanya, it was prasadam. Lord Chaitanya was talking with the dog. And Lord Chaitanya was telling the dog, "Chant Krishna, Rama, chant Hari." And devotees, you know what the dog was doing? The dog was chanting, "Krishna, Krishna," in dog language. But he was chanting. And when he would chant, Lord Chaitanya would throw some of the coconut, and the dog would catch it in his mouth and eat it. And this way they were enjoying, you know, an exchange again and again. "Chant Krishna, Krishna," and the dog would chant, and the Lord would throw him some coconut. And when Shivananda Sen saw the dog, he felt so relieved and so happy. And you know what he did? He went and offered full dandavans on the ground to the dog. He offered respect to the dog. That's an interesting story, isn't it? It's from Chaitanya Charitamrita. And it's showing the heart of a devotee. That the devotees have very soft hearts. You know, there's the story, the famous story, it's actually told by Lord Chaitanya of, what was his name? Mrigari, the hunter. You know that story? He was a hunter. That's what he did. He would kill animals. But he wouldn't just kill them, he would deliberately wound them and let them die slowly in pain. He wouldn't just kill them just like that. And he would stay and watch as they died over, you know, a few hours. And this was like entertainment for him. I mean, we feel that how could someone do something like that? It's like subhuman. But don't worry, today in this world, there are enough people like that. There is more than enough. And worse too. So anyway, this Mrigari was like that. It's a bit of a long story, Lord Chaitanya explains to the devotees. But what happened was that Narada Muni came and preached to him that if you do this, these animals are going to come back and get you in your next lifetime. They're going to come and get you, and you are going to go through what you have put them through. And he presented it in such a way that even though this Mrigari is like a heartless person, just a very gross person, but it hit his heart very hard. And he realized, yes, I have to change. So he did. He became vegetarian, he became a devotee. And when Narada Muni returned to visit him after a year or so, with one other devotee, Parashara Muni, they were approaching the house of Mrigari, walking down the path, maybe from 100 meters away or something. And Mrigari, down by the house, he saw, here comes my guru, Narada Muni, the person who saved me. And he came running out to meet him and greet him. So he's running, it's maybe 100 meters or so. But suddenly he stopped running. And he started kind of hopping around in a very awkward and strange way. And Narada and Parashara were wondering what happened to him. But then, you know, he moved a few meters in this strange, awkward fashion. And then he ran again and came to them. And they asked, what happened to you? Why were you hopping around like that? And Mrigari said, there was a stream of ants. There was a stream of ants across the path. Hundreds of ants. And I didn't want to step on one. Therefore, I was stepping, just finding the places where there's just ground and where I wouldn't have to step on an ant. And Parashara Muni said to Narada, just see how you have changed him. He used to just brutally kill the animals. Now we won't even hurt an ant. So Krishna consciousness works like that. The heart changes. Even you look at Dal Chaitanya, look at him. There he is. You know him better. Has he changed? Did you know him before he was a devotee? No. But he's become even nicer, hasn't he? Yeah. He was already nice as he was a devotee. But it came even nicer. That's Krishna consciousness. Mm-hmm. All right, let's see. Is it okay? We have time. It's 8.
Right, 8:05.
We got a few more minutes. It's okay.
Question.
Okay. I'll tell you one more story, just very briefly. It's a bit of a long story, but I'll try and keep it brief. It's the story of when Lord Chaitanya took sannyas. Lord Chaitanya took sannyas in January, basically, according to the Western calendar, and 4 days after what is called Makara Sankranti. It's generally, this year I think it was January the 15th, or 18th maybe. Anyway, around there. Yes. You know, here's an interesting thing. I don't know if you really find it interesting, but to me it is. When Krishna left Vrindavan and went to Mathura and killed Kamsa and, you know, everything changed. Then he stayed in Mathura and became a prince. So, when Lord Krishna left Vrindavan, he left from Nandagram, if you're familiar with the Vrindavan area. He left from Nandagram, and it was on devotees, would you believe, fasten your seatbelts, the next Ekadasi. That's coming up. If I remember correctly, it's the 19th, it's in about a week. Roughly a week from now. We're now in the month of Chaitra. Yeah, it's on in the first Ekadasi in the month of Chaitra is the day Krishna left Vrindavan. And Vrindavan was totally devastated. Beyond devastated. Right, anyway, so Lord Chaitanya left Navadvipa, Mayapur, and took sannyas. And that's quite a story. Anyway, like I said, we'll keep it brief. But what can we learn from that? What will we learn anyway? Let's see what we learn. But I'll tell you one thing we learn. We learn how it is possible to become deeply attached to Lord Chaitanya if you get his association, or if you develop appreciation for him, if you come to understand him, like, for example, by reading Chaitanya Charitamrita. If you read it very carefully, and then when you finish reading it, you read it again. This way you develop a connection with Lord Chaitanya. So when a person develops a real connection with Lord Chaitanya, oh, it is just such an amazing thing. Transformational. But the affection, the depth of relationship, we're not really familiar with such deep relationships. This we can learn from this pastime. So anyway, Lord Chaitanya decided to leave Navadvip, Mayapur, and take sannyas. He decided to do that because he wanted to increase the preaching. That was his mission, to spread the chanting far and wide. And as a householder living with his wife and his mother, he couldn't really do that. And in those days in India, in sort of spiritual circles, if someone was a householder, they were not really taken very seriously as devotees. If you wanted to be taken seriously, you had to wear saffron. In other words, you had to take sannyas. And then people would offer respect and listen to you. But as a householder, you're just some ordinary fellow. So anyway, Lord Chaitanya decided, I've descended for this purpose, to spread the Sankirtan movement all over. And I can't do it as a householder. And I have to preach in such ways people will listen. So he decided, I must take sannyas. I have to leave home. So that night, or that afternoon and that evening, by the Lord's transcendental arrangement, all the village people, one by one, they all came to visit Lord Chaitanya. And he had like very nice exchanges, very affectionate exchanges with them all. And there was like a mood, like we're sort of kind of saying goodbye. The last one to come and see him was Kulavicha Sridhar, very famous devotee. He used to sell bananas and banana leaves and banana flowers. Did you ever have a banana flower sanchi? Have you had it? Banana flower sanchi. You get it in Bengal, yeah. Anyway, Sridhar was very dear to Lord Chaitanya. Very dear. And he came, he was about the last person. He came and gave Lord Chaitanya a pumpkin. And Lord Chaitanya asked Mother Sanchi, his mother, get some milk and boil the pumpkin and make pumpkin kheer. Have you had pumpkin kheer? This was the last dish that Lord Chaitanya ate before he left to take sannyas. It's something you think about. It's a traditional dish. Pumpkin kheer. Pumpkin boiled in milk. With sugar. So that was the last thing Lord Chaitanya had. Then he took rest. But Mother Sachi and Vishnupriya, his wife, they just, there was this mood, he's going to leave. So Lord Chaitanya, he got up about 3 a.m. and some of his associates came, Haridas Thakur came, Chandrasekhar, Lord Nityananda came. And before Lord Chaitanya left, He spoke with Mother Sachi and thanked her. Thank you for bringing me up. Thank you for protecting me. Thank you for training me. Thank you for clothing me. Thank you for feeding me. Thank you for all these things. And then he left. And when he left, he ran. He and Lord Nityananda and these other few devotees, they ran down to a ghat, a boat ghat. The boat ghat is still there. From his house, it's probably like maybe a kilometer, something like that. And Mother Sachi and Bishop Priya ran after him. But when they reached the river, there were no boats. It's a boat ghat, but there are no boats. Lord Chaitanya, Lord Vichananda, and the other devotees, they swam across the Ganges. But Mother Sachi and Vishnupriya couldn't do it. So they stuck there. And Mother Sachi and Vishnupriya just called out and called out, Nidaya, Nidaya, Doya in Bengali. They pronounce Daya as Doya. Nidaya, Nidaya, Nidaya. There's no mercy. There's no mercy. And collapsed. And that ghat today is called Nidaya Ghat. So Lord Chaitanya and Lord Chaitanya and the devotees, they swam across and then they ran on to Katwa, which is like a city not far from there on the other side of the Ganges. And they found the ashram of Keshava Bharati, who was a famous Mayavadi sannyasi. And Keshava Bharati, he knew who Lord Chaitanya was. Because Lord Chaitanya was a very famous scholar and devotee by this time. So Lord Chaitanya came in early in the morning and told him, I want you to give me sannyas. And Keshava Bharati looked at him. Lord Chaitanya is 24, extremely handsome, unimaginably handsome. Ladies, you think your husband is handsome, you think he's just the most of the most of the mostest. Not compared to Lord Chaitanya. So Keshava Bharati tried to convince him not to. Look, you're only 24. Your wife is just young. Your mother's still living. Just go home. Hey, just chant Hare Krishna and just preach as much as you can. But Lord Chaitanya told him, no, you must give me sannyas. And Lord Chaitanya actually preached to him and convinced him, so he agreed. Then the word spread. They had some type of WhatsApp system. Because the word spread all over. The word spread that Nimai has come to the ashram of Keshava Bharati, and he wants to take sannyas. Wow! What is going to happen? So the people started gathering. First of all 100, then 1,000, then 10,000, and then the whole city gathered. and there's Lord Chaitanya and Keshav Bharati. And well, actually, at this point, Keshav Bharati has not yet agreed to give up sannyas. He's still debating. And the people told Keshav Bharati, listen, you give him sannyas, we'll kill you. And then the debate continued between Lord Chaitanya and Keshav Bharati. And then they said, you know what? Keshav Bharati, you give him sannyas, we will kill you, and we will throw your ashram into the Ganges one brick at a time. So you don't give him sannyas. But then Lord Chaitanya turned to the people, and he preached to the people about his mission, how he has to do this to save humanity, to save the whole Kali Yuga. And eventually they agreed. And then they found a Baba, Hirakata. Anyone remember what was the name of the Baba? Was it Mohan? Oh, I forget the name of the Baba. Anyway, they found the Baba. And the Baba came. And Lord Chaitanya's here. You know, he had long hair. And such beautiful hair. You know, you see these ads for different shampoos, sun silk, or whatever. I don't know. And you know, your hair is gleaming. Lord Chaitanya's hair was much nicer than that. So everyone said to the Baba, well, Lord Chaitanya said to the Baba, actually, okay, cut. The Baba came close and said, no, I can't do it. Lord Chaitanya said, cut. I can't do it. And the Baba, Lord Chaitanya, started pressing him, cut my hair. The Baba broke down, collapsed. I can't do it, I'm sorry. Get someone else. I'm not going to do it. But Lord Chaitanya took hold of him and shook him and told him, you cut my hair. So the Baba pulled himself together. And as he lifted his razor, he was crying. And he says, you know, I can't do it. I can't see what I'm doing because I'm crying too much. And Lord Chaitanya told him, just do it. And he stopped crying, the Baba stopped crying, and he was just about to start, and what did he see? His razor was crying. Then he cut one hair. And when that one hair fell to the ground, and all the assembled people saw it, then a million tears fell to the ground. And then gradually he cut the hair of Lord Chaitanya. And when he finished that Baba, he took a vow, I will never cut hair again, and he never cut hair again. He would just grow vegetables and live like that. So then Lord Chaitanya took sannyas. Meanwhile, back in Mayapur, Navadvipa, the next that morning, now at this time, everyone realizes Nimai has gone. He's gone. He's left. And they heard he's going to take sannyas. And the devotees gathered, and then Vajracharya jumped up and said, "All right, I'm going to jump in the Ganges and commit suicide." And all the devotees said, "No, no, 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 no." And then Vajracharya said, "Don't try to stop me." And they said, "We're not trying to stop you. Wait for us. We're going to commit suicide with you." It was a drowning. It was such a drowning. Anyway, it's a long story. I mean, that's the essence of it. But the emotions there, when Krishna left Vrindavan, the trees were crying, the rocks were crying. And when Lord Chaitanya left Nandavi, it's the same situation. Because the relationships with the devotees are so deep. So we must try to cultivate our Krishna consciousness and be nice. Try to cultivate being nice. You know, if every day you can do at least one nice thing for someone, which you don't have to do, just one thing, that will help you to cultivate like a mood and an attitude of niceness and kindness and helpfulness. And through Krishna consciousness, through your practice, this will develop and blossom more and more. And you'll become happier and happier, nicer and nicer, and more people will like you and love you. Like the six Goswamis, there's the song that Sad Goswami has become. The song, classic song, glorifying the six Goswamis, and in one verse it says, "Dira adhira jana priyo priyakaro." Dira means the sober people, the good people, like the pious people. Dira adhira jana, jana meaning people. Adhira means the not gentle people, the not nice people, the rough people. Dira adhira jana priyam, priyakaram. The six Goswamis were so nice. They were dear. What to speak of being dear to the devotees and the pious? They were very dear even to the impious, the rascals, the demons, nasty people. They were very dear even to people like that because they were so nice. Hare Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki. Oh, look, what should I do? Should I answer these questions? It's 20 past. Should I? Quickly. Okay, I get the message. Oh, okay. Currently the world is facing a crisis. The problem being the coronavirus. What is your take on it in terms of material nature, Krishna's arrangement, on a spiritual platform? Yeah, okay. Well, do you know, are you aware that we have postponed the Rath Yatra? You're aware of that? Yeah, okay. And the Johannesburg Rath Yatra? Yeah, postponed. Because of this, specifically because of this, yeah. Because, you know, it looks like it's going to get better before it gets, excuse me. It looks like it's going to get worse before it gets better in South Africa and in the world. So, but who was expecting it? I wasn't expecting it. You know, wars and the Americans destroying people and, you know, whoever else destroying people. That we were maybe expecting. I mean, it's already going on. It's just an ongoing program. But something like this, becoming a worldwide phenomenon and sort of paralyzing countries, who was expecting that? I don't think anyone was at all. So it's karma. That's the first thing, it's karma. Because there's so much sinful activity. Wow. Prabhupada said, because the Americans are so fond of meat eating, therefore their sons were killed in Vietnam. So, because people are so involved in sinful activity in all different sorts of ways, therefore, these, you know, like HIV, AIDS, and now this, these things are coming, are here. And, well, as devotees, we should be very careful. You know, you should be very careful before someone in Lotus Park comes down with it. Anyway, who knows? But don't be too surprised if someone in Lotus Park comes down with it, or at least in Orient Park. Don't be too surprised. Better to become prepared through the cleanliness and understanding how to interact with people, particularly people who have got, you know, anything like those symptoms, which could be anyone just with a cold. Like Parthasarathy Maharaj is at Govardhan now. He's meant to come back in a while, but he can't because he's got a cold. Let's hope it's just a cold. Anyway, I'm sure it's just a cold. But it's quite a serious cold, apparently. And that put him into quarantine. He tries to leave India. He'll go straight into quarantine. Anyway, yeah. So we as devotees, we should be responsible and start ourselves developing the proper hygienic practices. It's not that difficult, but it is different from what we're used to. And we should do it before the problem hits, because that's your protection if, you know, someone in Lotus Park comes down with it. So yeah, it's kind of a reaction. And for us, well, we're, you know, we're living here also. So it's a lesson for us of what the material nature can do. The material nature is full of surprises. Just when you thought you got this material world worked out and you can deal with it, then something like this crops up and you see it's just kind of out of control. And okay, last question, very good. How does one get a taste for chanting? Well, I could answer that in two parts. One is by chanting. But you're only going to get a taste for a certain type of food if you start eating it. You know, people just tell you it's nice. That's not the same as if you eat it, then, oh, yes, wow, I like this. So, to really get a taste for chanting, one needs to chant, which means seriously chant. To really get something out of the chanting, you've got to give your heart and your mind to the chanting, and not just do it in a lackadaisical way while you're watching TV or something like that. You've got to sit down and give your attention. And if you do that, oh, you'll get a wonderful taste. That's one thing. Second thing, you should associate with devotees who have a taste. And chant with devotees who have a taste. And therefore, in some of our namahatas, in different parts of the world, on some days of the week, like weekends, but at certain times regularly, they get together and have a japa session together, the namahata devotees or whoever is able to make it. Rather than just everyone just tries to chant on their own, at home, it may not be so easy. Particularly if your family are devotees, that's one thing. But if other family members are not devotees, and particularly if they're opposed, then it's not easy to chant nicely at home. Then I'll tell you another thing. This is something. In some parts of Russia, the Russians are very interesting people. Anyway, we're not getting into that, but they really are. And one thing they've done in Russia? They have made Skype japa conferences. You know what Skype is? Yeah. It's basically free, more or less. You just got to have an internet connection. And early in the morning, whoever's the leader of the japa conference switches on the computer, and the other devotees tune in, because you can set up these conferences on Skype. It's very simple. And they all chant together. And sometimes they use video so they can see each other chanting. It is the next best thing to actually chanting together with the devotees physically. Skype japa conferences. And there's some in Russia. They've been going for like 10 years. 7 days a week. 7 mornings a week. For an hour, 2 hours, 5 o'clock to 7, or 6 to 8, or whatever, depending on the circumstances of the devotees. Yeah, so if you associate with those who have a taste for chanting, whoever you associate with, whoever you allow to influence you will become like that person. You'll become like that person. So if you associate with serious chanters in a really nice way and try and kind of tune in and get on their wavelength, you'll become a good japa chanter. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Sri Prabhupada ki jai. Gopinande. Sorry to go on for so long. I'm sure they won't let me come again, because I go on till 2 minutes and they get too hungry. Okay, so we have Guru Pujan. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So we all stand up for Guru Pujan.